The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger Personal Finance, AARP Bulletin, and if time permits today, an article from AAA Living Magazine. From Kiplinger.com, what's the standard deduction for 2022 versus 2023? A timely article. You have a choice between taking the standard deduction or claiming itemized deductions each year when filling out your federal income tax return. And of course, you always want to pick whichever one helps you the most. For about 90% of all taxpayers, claiming the standard deduction is the way to go. But you can't know for sure which route is better for you unless you know how much your standard deduction is in that year. So how much is the standard deduction worth? It depends on your filing status, whether you're 65 or older and or blind, and whether another taxpayer can claim you as a dependent on their tax return. It's also adjusted annually for inflation, so your 2022 standard deduction is larger than it was for 2021, and your 2023 amount will be higher than your 22 amount. There are also some special rules that apply if you're claiming the standard deduction. For instance, if you recently had a net qualified disaster loss, your standard deduction may be higher. On the other hand, if you're married but filing separate tax returns, you can't take the standard deduction if your spouse itemizes deductions. You can't claim it if you're a dual status alien either. So as it turns out, determining your standard deduction amount isn't as simple as it may seem on the surface. The size of your standard deduction differs depending on a variety of factors. The 2022 standard deduction amounts. For 2022 federal income tax returns, which will be due April 18th of 2023, the standard deduction amounts are as follows. If you're filing single or married filing separately, the 22 deduction is $12,950. Married filing jointly or qualifying widow or widower, $25,900, and head of household, $19,400. If you're at least 65 years old or blind, you can claim an additional 2022 standard deduction of $1,400, $1,750 if using the single or head of household filing status. If you're both 65 and blind, the additional deduction amount is doubled. If you can be claimed as a dependent by another taxpayer, your 2022 standard deduction is limited to the greater of $1,150 or your earned income plus $400. But the total can't be more than the basic standard deduction for your filing status. The 2023 standard deduction amounts. Even though you haven't filed your 2022 return yet, smart taxpayers will start keeping an eye on their 2023 return now. So for the early birds out there, here are the 2023 standard deduction amounts. If you're filing single or filing married, filing separately, the deduction in 2023 will be $13,850. If you're filing married jointly or qualifying widow or widower, The deduction will be $27,700. And the 2023 standard deduction, if you're filing head of household, will be $20,800. Taxpayers who are at least 65 years old or blind can claim an additional standard deduction of $1,500, which would be allowed in 2023. $1,850 if you're claiming the single or head of household filing status. And as with the 2022 standard deduction, the additional deduction amount is doubled if you're both 65 or older and blind. If you can be claimed as an dependent on another person's tax return, your 2023 standard deduction is limited to the greater of $1,250 or your earned income plus $400. Again, the total can't be more than the basic standard deduction for your filing status. Increased standard deduction for certain disaster losses. If you have a net, quote, qualified disaster loss, you can claim a larger standard deduction. A qualified disaster loss is a casualty or theft loss of personal use property that is attributable to the following: a major disaster declared by the president in 2016, Hurricane Harvey, Tropical Storm Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria, California wildfires in 2017 and January 2018, a major disaster declared by the president between January 1, 2018 and February 18, 2020, if the loss occurred before January 19, 2020, or a major disaster declared by the president before February 26, 2021, if the loss occurred between December 28, 2019 and December 27, 2020, and continued no later than January 26 of 2021, not including losses attributable to a major disaster declared only by reason of COVID-19. You need to complete IRS Form 4684 to see if you have a net qualified disaster loss. Standard deduction amounts for 2017 through 2021. The standard deduction was much lower before the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, which is called the TCJA, which basically doubled the standard deduction. As a result, starting with 2018 tax year, fewer people itemized and more Americans claimed the standard deduction. Personal exemptions. Often associated with the standard deduction, personal exemptions allow you to reduce your taxable income. That in turn lowers your tax bill and or increases your tax refund. Traditionally, personal exemptions are allowed on your federal tax return for yourself, your spouse, if you file a joint return, and qualifying dependents. However, no federal exemptions are allowed for a person who can be claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return. For each exemption allowed, you can subtract a certain amount from your taxable income. That amount is adjusted each year to account for inflation. So, for example, if the personal exemption amount is $4,000, then a family of four can claim a total of $16,000 in personal exemptions, which would then be subtracted from the family's taxable income on a joint return. However, if adjusted gross income, or your AGI, is above a certain amount, the total personal exemption amount is gradually phased out. So, higher income taxpayers can lose their personal exemptions. Now for the bad news, if that's not confusing enough. The TCJA temporarily suspended personal exemptions for the 2018 to 2025 tax years. Technically, the personal exemption amount was reduced to zero for those years. They've scheduled to come back in 2026, unless Congress extends the suspension between now and then. As noted in our previous readings, the TCJA nearly doubled the standard deduction for the same time span to balance out the loss of those personal exemptions. In case you're curious, the 2017 personal exemption amount was $4,050. The phase-out that year started if your federal AGI, your adjusted gross income, exceeded $156,900 for married taxpayers filing separate returns, or $261,500 for single filers, or $287,650 for head of household filers, or $313,800 for married couples filing a joint return and qualifying widowers. Well, I hope that helped understand a little bit the differences that we will expect for the 2022 and 23 standard deductions for our taxes. Our next article is from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Is an adjustable rate mortgage right for you? With fixed rates rising, ARMs, or adjustable rate mortgages, offer lower monthly payments for the initial term. But know the risk. When mortgage rates were at record lows not so long ago, adjustable rate mortgages, or ARMs, were sidelined in favor of the more stable 15 and 30-year fixed rate mortgage. But as rates rise, ARMs, which typically have lower initial rates than the fixed rate cousin, have gained popularity. The rate on the fixed rate mortgage has gone up much faster than the rate on the adjustable rate mortgage, says Joel Kahn, deputy chief economist at the Mortgage Bankers Association. Over the past year, through early December, the 30-year fixed rate loan has more than doubled from 3.11% to 6.49%, according to Freddie Mac. Meanwhile, the average initial rate of a popular 5/1 ARM was 5.48%. The share of home buyers applying for an ARM has almost quadrupled since the start of 2022, coming close to 11% of all applications for the week ending November 11th, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. In October, ARMs accounted for nearly 13% of mortgage applications, the highest share since March of 2008. How ARMs work? As the name implies, most ARMs adjust after the initial lower rate period ends. Once the adjustment period kicks in, the interest rate changes occur at regular intervals, such as annually or every 6 months until the end of the loan term. The new rate is based on a predetermined index and margin, and depending on market conditions, can make your monthly payment higher or lower than you paid previously. ARMs come in an array of mix and match forms, such as combining a 5, 7, or 10-year initial term with recurring 6 months or 1 year adjustments. For example, a 5/1 ARM maintains an initial rate for 5 years, then adjust annually. Another option is a 7/6 ARM, in which the initial rate lasts for 7 years, then adjust every 6 months. The naming conventions, such as 5/1 and 7/6, reflect how the mortgage is structured. The first number indicates the length of the introductory interest rate, and the second number shows how often the rate will change after that initial period. ARMs got a tarnished reputation during the housing market crash and financial crisis in 2008 and 2009, when borrowers who bought their homes with low-interest loans couldn't keep up with the higher payments as rates rose. Since then, new regulations have made ARMs safer. For instance, loans with short fixed rate periods, such as 1 year ARMs, are rare. 5/1 and 7/1 ARMs are the most common according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Potential savings, but greater risk. Although you'll know when the interest rate will adjust, the rates themselves are more unpredictable because they're based on a benchmark index, such as the U.S. prime rate or the constant maturity treasurer, or CMT. You'll pay more if the rate goes up and less if the rate goes down. In exchange for the lower initial rate, you're shouldering some of the interest rate risk, says Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate. With a 15 or 30 year fixed rate mortgage, in comparison, the lender bears much of the risk. If rates rise, homeowners with a fixed rate mortgage won't have to worry about paying more. When fixed rates were at historical lows, borrowers had little incentive to take on an ARMs extra uncertainty, which is why there was less demand for ARMs. But as fixed rates rise, borrowers are turning to ARMs to reduce their initial mortgage cost. Although an ARMs adjustment fluctuates, you won't be completely blindsided by any potential rate increases. When applying for a mortgage, you should receive a loan estimate, a document that describes the terms of the loan and shows ranges for the future payments. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau provides helpful details on what to examine in that estimate at www.consumerfinance.gov/owning-a-home/loan-estimate. The loan estimate will include the underlying index plus the margin added to that index. In addition, most ARMs have rate caps, an initial cap, a periodic cap, and a lifetime cap. The initial cap affects how much the rate can change when the first adjustment comes. A periodic rate cap pertains to all subsequent recurring increases during the life of the loan. The lifetime cap limits how much the rate can change throughout the entire term period. Like an ARMS designation, rate caps are represented with numbers and slashes. For example, 5/2/5 represents a 5% initial cap, a 2% periodic cap, and a 5% lifetime cap. As you explore ARMs, be mindful that caps don't only apply to increases. They can also keep your rates from going below a certain level. Does an ARM make sense for you? Choosing an ARM can be advantageous for someone who is making a sizable down payment and doesn't intend to stay in a home for the long run. But though you may plan to sell your home before the adjustment rate kicks in, unexpected factors could affect that decision, such as a decline in the value of your home. Don't assume you can refinance if you end up in the home longer than expected, because there's no guarantee that rates will be lower at a future date. McBride says, if you can't afford the increased payments, you could lose your home to foreclosure. Online tools such as Freddie Mac's calculator can also help you estimate how changes in interest rates will affect your monthly payments. If you're risk adverse, plan to spend decades in the same home or have a limited fixed income, such as in retirement, you could be better off with a fixed rate mortgage, even if it means a higher monthly payment. Knowing that the interest rate on your mortgage will remain the same for the life of the fixed rate loan can provide peace of mind for budgeting purposes, as you'll know well into the future what your mortgage payment will be, says Leanna Deviney, a certified financial planner in Framingham, Massachusetts. And also from Kiplinger Personal Finance, don't rush to buy a sale item. A survey of major retailers found that discounted prices are often misleading or even fake. When is a sale not a sale. Most of the time, according to the Consumer's Checkbook, a nonprofit consumer organization, after tracking prices at 25 major retailers over 33 weeks, Consumer's Checkbook concluded that the same sale price was offered more than half the time. Worse, some retailers' sale prices never changed, Consumer's Checkbook found. Some of the worst offenders included Amazon, Nordstrom, and Wayfair, which promoted sales that were usually misleading, Consumer's Checkbook said. Walmart and Best Buy prompted and promoted sales that were often misleading, Consumer's Checkbook found, while Target's sales were somewhat misleading. Of the 25 retailers surveyed, only Apple, Costco, and Bed Bath & Beyond offered legitimate sales, Consumer's Checkbook said. Consumer's Checkbook tracked sales promotions at major retailers once a week, beginning in February of 2022. The researchers selected on-sale products that were representative of each retailer's primary offerings, power tools at Home Depot, for example, and electronics at Best Buy. This isn't the first time Consumer's Checkbook has investigated questionable discount prices, and the organization says the problem of misleading discounts has become worse. In 2018, Consumer's Checkbook found that six major retailers offered fake discounts at least half of the time. In 2022, nearly all of the stores surveyed fell into that category. By advertising bogus sales, retailers hope to dissuade consumers from looking for lower prices elsewhere, Consumer's Checkbook says. But savvy shoppers don't have to take retailers' word for it when it comes to prices. Here's how to search for legitimate deals. Register and download the Honey browser at www.joinhoney.com. The tool will search for coupons while you're on a store's website and apply them automatically at checkout. The online tool, www.camelcamelcamel.com, will provide price history charts for products sold on Amazon and alert you to price drops. PriceGrabber.com and Yahoo Shopping publish best deals for various items, which you can use for comparison shopping. Brick and mortar shopping. For all the hoopla over e-commerce, more than half of Americans say they prefer buying from a physical store to shopping online, according to Pew Research Center. In that case, researching prices online before you go to the store could help you avoid bogus sales. And even if an item appears to be legitimately on sale, don't feel pressured to buy it. Many retailers will hold the lower price upon request. Shopping in person may also give you an edge when purchasing big-ticket items, such as appliances and electronics. According to Consumer's Checkbook, many large manufacturers require retailers to publish prices at or above specified minimums in online searches and sales circulars. However, these policies don't apply to prices quoted to customers in person, so you may be able to negotiate a lower price, particularly if you're buying from an independent retailer that's eager to close the deal. And we may not be able to finish this article, but we will start it. This is an article from AARP Bulletin entitled, Shop Safely on Social Media. Not all the deals in your feed are legitimate. If you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram and an ad pops up for the perfect gift or maybe a little present for yourself, a sweater in your favorite color, or a great gadget for making your beloved cookies, it's uncanny how social media knows you so well. But it is no accident. They customize ads by tracking your online activity. The problem is, what you see isn't always what you get. The Federal Trade Commission says 45% of the social media scams It recorded in 2021 involved online shopping. Nearly 70% of the victims ordered items that never showed up, and 9 out of 10 said they were reeled in by something they saw on Facebook or Instagram. It's easy to fall for these scams. Some ads impersonate legitimate online retailers and drive you to lookalike websites. Often the pictures and descriptions are bogus. That's how one of my friends fell in love with a dress she saw in a tempting Instagram ad, but ended up with a cheap-looking child-size nightgown. And it's how another friend got scammed when she ordered two camping chairs from a Facebook ad. She waited so long that she thought they weren't coming at all. And when they did finally arrive, they turned out to be suited more for a doll than for an adult. I'm often tempted by Instagram ads, but when I click through for more information, red flags always seem to pop up. Recently, I spotted a cool-looking gold marker on Instagram, but I decided to skip it. Why? I look for reviews and could find them only on the seller's website, which displayed nothing but five-star ratings. The only other mention I found was a warning on a scam alert site. The fine print was filled with off-putting language, including a section about canceling subscriptions, even though there was no mention of subscriptions elsewhere on the site. I ended up checking for the product on my go-to art supply website and found several similar markers that seemed like a better bet. Taking the following steps can help you to shop more safely on social media sites. Look for a physical address and phone number. Read the fine print. Hunt for signs of trouble. For example, scam reports, etc. Consider another seller and pay with a credit card. Well, we're going to edit this article today because, again, we have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and hope you'll enjoy and will join us again next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading on behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.